This is an interview with Connie McCready at her home in Northeast Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is June 22nd, 1994, and this is tape 18, side one. So we were talking about Miller Schwab.
Yeah, you were asking, as I recall, why she would do that about asking her staff to find something wrong with something that came from
my office.
And I don't know. I really do think it was the nature of the beast, because she had such a hard time making decisions or taking the stand. You brought up that golf situation.
Right.
And I think when the tape ended before, that yes, that was the case, because the golf people, the money, I was surprised, because the moneyed golf people who could afford it the best were the ones who came over objecting. I guess that's because they used the thing so much. And now this one man that I remember, and he was very well spoken, and he had a, as I mentioned, his cashmere sweater, his outfit was very smooth, and he objected to a compromise that she had brought up, or that had been proposed to raise the prices, the golf fees, only in like from May till October,
right,
and then have them less from October to May because the weather was unpredictable, you know, not as good, and that sort of thing. And this guy got up to testify on that, and he said, "That won't do me a bit of good." And I'm in Palm Springs during that period. Which just spoke for the whole thing. I mean, it was the self-interest there. And all of those people who testified knew, because it was explained to them by the staff person. It was brought onto the record by the staff person who was proposing the raise, because they needed the money. It wasn't covering the cost of administering the golf program.
Right.
And they were putting in another golf course out at, I think that was the one out at Delta Park that they were putting in, and they needed the money, and the golf fees had to sustain the golf program, and it wouldn't be sufficient. So with that explanation, his explanation, the compromise wouldn't help him any, because he would be in Palm Springs during all the bad weather.
Poor soul.
Poor soul. But this sort of thing just drove Mildred crazy. And so that's what I was probably, I must have made tossed something at her for not being able to come up with a program or being able to accept it, because she was, as usual, real namby-pamby on anything that might affect the fat cats. and when she came back with this charge, no way was she able to find anything. If she could, I would have found it first, because
program.
Because I had weekly meetings with the heads of those bureaus, and I watched. In fact, one of the things that I was the proudest of and campaigned on was the $2 million reduction in the cost of the road program, and yet we paved so many more miles of streets. I was just really pleased and proud with accomplishing these things. I didn't do it myself. I hired good people, and we worked it out together, and I took credit for what they did. But she just, that's the way she would act. She would just lash back with whatever.
What was her relationship like with the other people on the council?
Well, most of the time, she and Frank were buddies on stuff. They didn't pay much attention listening to the testimony. They'd sit back in their chairs and lean over and be talking to each other in undertones all the time. Used to make problems with picking up the testimony on the microphones, because they were yakking all the time and making deals. Oh, they just made deals all the time. Anderson, I don't remember. She didn't vote with him very much. He voted more with Neil. And then I voted with him a great deal. And sometimes there was a period when I was voting with Ivancy quite a bit, when Neil was bringing in all these human resource proposals, because my feeling being, as I think I've said before, that the charter assigns us responsibility for handling the services and that we can't push them off to anyone else. And he wanted to add all this stuff. And Frank was against them all, those programs, just because he didn't believe in human resource type things, and probably for pretty much the same reason I did. But I don't know, because you never know if he means what he's saying. her relationship with Neil, she would give him the vote he needed when he needed it. There's no question but what she did that. But boy, when she was upset with him, I think I've told you about her charging down the hall and slamming through those swinging doors into his office and yelling, "Neil Goldschmidt, I'm going to vote against every goddamn thing." I'm sure the public for a block away would pick that up. But most of the time, despite her ranting, I mean, she would do what he wanted if it mattered to him, you know. And then at some point along came Charles Jordan, or was it Mike Lindbergh first?
No, it was Charles Jordan upon Anderson's retirement.
Yeah.
Resignation.
Yeah, and she didn't vote with him on hardly anything. The things he mainly brought in were human rights kinds of things to begin with, because he was given the Department of Human Resources, and I can't remember what all, but he didn't bring an awful lot of stuff in, and she didn't vote for the human resource type things either, unless Neil needed it for his third vote, and then she would come up with some reason that she would vote for it because today is Wednesday or something like that. You know, real good solid bases. But anyway,
what about with Anderson, Lloyd Anderson? How did she interact with him?
Not too. We touched on him.
Oh, I guess we did.
Yeah. Not too often. Sometimes, but not too often. As I said, she liked to be able to provide the no vote and have things pass.
Right.
And so, particularly something controversial. That way, she didn't lose any support from the people who won, because they weren't mad at her.
Right.
And the people who lost, boy, they would adore you. You know, so you couldn't really go on how she felt. She didn't have any real convictions about anything, I don't believe. That's what used to drive me crazy, because I thought if she would vote her conscience, that's fine. I mean, God didn't give me all the answers, for heaven's sakes, and I could be wrong. That's hard to imagine, but I could be wrong. But to have someone like that who had no convictions and would just vote the way something might be, that she might luck out on or get some support on.
I saw this great quote about the commissioners that, I don't know whether this came out of Willamette Week or not, but it was quoting a commissioner's aide who said, quote, "The Portland City Council has got to be the most carnivorous political organization in the state. They're like sharks." Is that true?
Yes, that's true. I would have to say that is true. Charles Jordan did not do any of that I can think of. Mike Lindbergh didn't do any of that. But I'll have to say that I'm guilty, and Neil was guilty, and Mildred and Frank were very guilty. they were terrible, terrible. They would attack not only the rest of the council, but each other and the public, the poor public that would be up there testifying, and staff people who were testifying. They didn't have to have any basis in fact. I couldn't believe it, and particularly Frank. I would say, from time to time, I would be dumbfounded at some absolutely ludicrous, wild, off-the-wall statement he would make in a council. And I'd say, Frank Ivancy, how can you say that? You know that isn't true. How can you possibly say that? And he'd look at me and just grin. It didn't bother him a bit. Just grin.
And why would he do that?
Oh, for what he could get out of it, either to either a favorable press or you're playing to a particular.
But you got along with him okay?
Constituency.
Did you get along with him okay?
Oh, yeah, I got along with him okay a lot of the time. Of course, towards the end, we didn't at all, because he was campaigning all the time in the council chamber when he was running for mayor, and I was mayor. And I was trying to run the council sessions and keep politics out of it. I had sworn that I was going to do that. And by golly, I did my damnedest to do that, but it didn't stop him. And he would make these absurd statements, like Milliard, that repartee thing about something wrong in the Public Works Department. She never came up with anything. We never had any charges.
I guess some people on the council argued against some of his bull run. Like the Hydro project and whatnot. They had trouble with.
And then he had this crazy thing where they were going to do all these, dig these wells out along the Columbia River someplace. And boy, people were so proud of the Bull Run water that we got to drink, and I could imagine how the public would feel if they were paying and this water was being mixed with the Bull Run, or people who lived out there in that area would be getting this well water that wasn't of the caliber of Bull Run.
Were there times that that you could socialize with the other commissioners outside of the council meetings, that you could get together? You talked about these luncheons that you used to have under Terry Schrunk, and did you ever go out for a drink after, at the end of the day, or?
No, I don't think I ever did with any of them. No, well, frankly, the thought of going out for a drink with Mildred Schwab would be like going on the rack. And I could enjoy Frank socially if, you know, we were all invited to some of the same things.
Sure.
There would be some occasional conversations, you know, with lots of other people, of course. But Neil was by hands down the most, when he wanted to be, the most charismatic. He was just a delight with his sense of humor and his quick brain and wit. I enjoyed him a lot, until I got Public Works, I had a great deal of admiration for Anderson. I did not, he was a little stuffy, pretty sure that he was always right, but socially, no, we didn't socialize, any of us. We saw so doggone much of each other down there, the thought of adding anything more to it. I don't know what the rest did, but I know that I didn't.
Was it awkward in your relationships with the other council members that that everybody had to vote on each other's
proposals,
issues coming from their own bureaus or departments, that they had to know what everybody else was doing because they had to vote on those things? I mean, did that make it awkward?
Well, no, and there was none of that that I can recall back when Terry was mayor. None at all. It was with the advent of Neil, and Neil did like intrigue. He did like to have the cards close to his chest, and did not like to have to explain anything. He knew what he wanted to do, and we weren't supposed to question it, and he was always trying to crowd a little more authority than he had by charter. I mean, it was just that he figured he could get away with it, and he could bluff and shout, and he won. He did it with the others, and I used to dread going down to council meetings. I think, I just wish he wouldn't do these things. I don't want to take him on. I just hated it. I wouldn't sleep the night before so much of the time because I like people. I don't like to be seen as an obstructionist. And I knew that other commissioners saw it, but they just were afraid to stand up to him, or he would treat them the way he treated me.
Some people said that there was a feud going on between you. Was there?
No, there wasn't any feud. And I think I told you about the time he finally came into my office and tried to talk me into taking the police department. And I said, well, of course, you know.
The fire department.
The police.
The police department.
Yeah. I wanted the fire department.
Oh, but he wanted you to take the police department,
yes.
And you didn't want it.
No, I didn't want it. There were all kinds of crises going on right then, and he hadn't been paying any attention. It was a no-win situation.
Huh.
And so he was trying to dump a bureau at that time that was nothing but bad news to him, the campaigning coming up. And so what he was doing was coming in and giving me this big line about what a great administrator I was and what I could do for the Bureau and how much fun it was to be in on all of this stuff, the stuff that the regular public didn't see. And I get to ride around in police cars, and I could know everything that was going on and any kind of a case that was coming up and how much fun. And that's when I finally, I'm sure I told you this, and said, Neil,
yeah,
I wish you just get it through your head that you can't scare me, you can't buy me. Now, for God's sakes, quit trying to con me. Just lay it out, and I'll tell you what I think, and then you can do what you want to do. I mean, assign me the Bureau if you want, and I'll do the best darn job I can with it, but I won't attack you. But when you do these crazy things,
right,
and try and scare me into something, or buy me, or con me, I'll attack you if I have to do that to get your attention. And that's when I think I mentioned the color going up
right.
His face. I've never seen that in anyone.
But you were mostly, at least in the news reports, you were most upset with his method of making appointments. And we'll talk more about that later, especially when Jordan comes on.
I was very upset with his methods of making appointments because he was flat out violating the open meeting law.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it. I could see why they passed it, and it's a law that we have to abide by. And my feeling was, if we didn't abide by it, how could we expect anyone else to abide by state laws? And it was this business of doing it for an appointment and going around behind my back and making deals with others without my knowing, and to get enough votes to appoint it, then what you know then is that he's made promises to them in exchange for those votes. And I don't know what those promises were and how it's going to affect me, like getting my bureaus taken or assigning me to bad bureaus. I did an awful lot of work, a fast learning job on public works, and was very proud of what I'd done there. I didn't think I'd be able to, and I did. I was surprised to find that I was such a good administrator. I never had to administer before I went on the council. And so...
Do you think that Neil improved as well as mayor? I mean, did he grow with the job?
I think he did. Although I think he finally figured out that I think that meeting was, that I was describing, was sort of a turn point. I think he listened, or, because he said, well, I found out I couldn't scare you.
Was that I saw a quote about that, and it was referring to the Public Works Bureau assignment. McCready was skeptical at first, at first was a turning point in the relationship between the mayor and the commissioner, sources say, for the better. That over that whole
not really because no. I didn't want public works. I didn't want, and I thought Neil was doing it to me to bury me in it. I hated having to cope with these poor souls, who elderly people who had to sell or move off of their property because of the cost of sewer improvements or things. And
but he had a lot of respect for your ability to manage bureaus, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I'd read quotes where he gave me a lot of credit for that, and I found out much later that that marvelous fellow that he had for a year before he died of cancer, I mentioned him earlier to you.
Ron Schmidt?
No, not Ron Schmidt. This fellow was an attorney, and he had come to City Hall to work for Neil for a year.
Yes,
I can't remember now. It's just gone blank.
He also had a lot of respect for your ability to come up with a decision to vote against the mounted freeway. Wasn't that a big surprise to him?
Surprised him to pieces.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you.
Well, the Oregonian was in favor of it. You did tell me about that part of it.
Yeah, in favor of the freeway.
Oh, in favor of the freeway.
And my husband, oh my Lord, was he ever. And he still hasn't gotten off my back on that. We discussed that freeway just the other day, and he erupted again. I couldn't. Oh, he said, that's what he said. City Council is finally going to remedy the bad decisions that you made at that time. They're going to put through I don't think it's a Mount Hood freeway, but it's something or other. They're going to remedy that. And then he went all over again. He says, I don't listen to him. I said, well, you haven't listened to me. I hear you. You're just saying the same thing over and over. Yeah, the Oregonian did fight that for the freeway. And I had been all for it until my staff person that I'd assigned to follow it with all the studies that were being done came and gave her report to me and showed me pages in this thing where it was not good.
How do commissioners come up to decide?
Before I leave that, I wanted to tell you that he was so sure, because I had been in favor of it and had not been getting along with him anyway. It sort of reflects on the way his mindset was, I guess, because he told his staff not to have anything to do with my staff on the Mount Hood Freeway, not to give her any information. And she didn't tell me this, but another member of my staff, when I was praising the job that Jennifer had done on that, another member of my staff said, I don't think you know this, but she did this work in spite of no cooperation from Neil's office. And Neil's office was the one that was putting it together, had all the facts. And so she had to dig it out herself, and so he knew what he'd told his staff.
Right.
So either he got them in trouble because he thought they may have cooperated, or found out that we did this on our own.
Well, what is the balance between a commissioner's taking another commissioner's word or judgment on something in their domain versus
studying entirely.
Going behind so-called behind their backs, or studying it on your own? Or
well, first of all, what happened back in Terry's time is I don't remember anyone questioning the commissioner in charge's recommendation. And what happened when they bring a proposal in, they would have the proposal would be in the console. There'd be backup information in your console calendar. You'd behind for each item, there'd be all kinds of information provided you on the issue. And then they would have a staff person, or two or three, depending on how complex the issue was, would come and give oral testimony. That's a good thing for Frank and Mildred, because Mildred read the stuff, but Frank never read anything. Never did. So it was fortunate that the staff would come and give oral testimony, so to give him something to ask questions about, which is all they seemed to do later. But during Terry's administration, why this is what would happen, and mm-hmm. these people, and if you had any question, you'd ask the staff person, mm-hmm. or if there was some paper work in your mm-hmm. council calendar that you couldn't understand, you had a question about, you could ask the staff person mm-hmm. at that time. Mm-hmm. Then you'd take testimony from the public on it, and then and there were recommendations from the staff, and then you'd vote. And most, I don't remember it always passing, but I think that pretty much passed. I know it pretty much passed, the various recommendations from the commissioners in charge.
There was one case here that Willamette Week talked about where it said, quote, McCready, whose Public Works Bureau is in charge of the dump, proposed the hike fee following the suggestion of her Public Works Staff and Citizens Committee, and the council voted against the rate increase. That must have made you fairly upset.
Oh, it did. Because it wasn't fun recommending a rate increase.
Right.
But it was needed, and they were all either running or just trying to, or just showing off. That the presence of television cameras in that council chamber, oh, made such a difference. If they could spout off and make some kind of wild charge, that would do it. If there wasn't any press presence, they didn't do it. But oh, I'd noticed that down at legislature. I'd say, you know, legislature could end months earlier if there wasn't TV coverage of it. These people who'd never say a word would leap up and make some crazy statement, and that's happened down here. And that thing about the that you're quoting, that wasn't when Terry was mayor.
No.
This was later when
Neil
was.
That's right.
And with that change, everything became political. They would do their own research, which wasn't necessary. They were certainly welcome to, but most of them didn't bother doing their own research because they had enough jobs to do with their own bureaus. But they
right.
would take the information that was presented them, and like then they would assign it to a staff person, like as I told you, Mildred staff, that person who
uh-huh.
Said he was sick of being given an assignment and just anything from my office to review and just say, find something wrong with this.
Okay.
Not study this and see, give me a recommendation on it. Just
right.
find something wrong. And then getting chewed out when I came, if he couldn't find anything wrong. And that was, oh, I know, I was something that I was going to tell you about one of her staff people who didn't stay long. She was, had the worst time keeping staff of anybody. They just, it was a revolving door in there. Well, she treated them terribly. She took over the, which was the gal's lounge, the employee's lounge room across the hall from her office. She kicked them out and took it over to put staff in there. When she got some more staff, she talked Neil into giving her some more staff. She brought in the supplementary budget, and naturally Frank would vote for it. He got himself some more staff, and Neil supported it. And then she didn't have any place to put them, and so she kicked them the lounge out and put the staff in that room across the hall. Well, she would go charging out of her office and go in there and then and chew them out. Somebody out in there, and then you'd hear the last part of her shrieking at them, and by God, I told you to do such, and then she'd slam the door of their office, and then she'd come back across the hall and slam the door of hers. And at that time I had the Bureau of Buildings, which included maintenance of City Hall, and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay for all these replaced glass in the windows. I think maybe we'll put some solid doors up on her offices or something. But anyway, as I said, her office was a revolving door, and this one man that she had was, I had respect for him. He was, and from time to time he would say, he would meet me as I'd be coming up from council, he'd be going down the stairs or something. And I can remember one particular time when I'd made a very difficult decision. It might have been the gay vote or I can't remember whatever one it was. And he came down and all he said was, he said, I certainly admire what you did. And respect for your stance on whatever it was. And he never said a word against her. She, whatever this was, she had been just obnoxious about screaming.